Please be seated. Let us pray. Redeeming God, gather us in. Whether we are feeling happy or confused, whether we are bouncing with delight or battling tiredness, inspire our minds. Reignite the fire in our hearts. Restore our hopes as we come together today. Amen. And we share in a prayer of praise and thanksgiving. And the words are going to be on the screen. So if you would join in the words in yellow. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you come out and meet us where we are. We worship and adore you. We thank you that you walk the road with us, that you treat us as an equal, even when we fail to recognize you. We worship and adore you. You always love us, always care for us, always want to eat and drink with us. Such is your love. We worship and adore you. Thank you, Lord, that you are not a stranger, but our friend. We worship and adore you. Amen. Now I've got a few words to share with people of all ages. I don't know, are you happy over there or do you come forwards? What's the thing that you do here? No pressure. If you want to stay over there, you stay over there. But I'm going to ask you to move properly in a minute. Aha! Someone's leading the way here. I brought with me a Christmas present. I know it's not Christmas, but I was given this a couple of years ago. Can you see what that says? What does that say?
Finding Jesus,
brilliant. And for those of you whose eyesight isn't absolutely fabulous, there's a picture of it, I think, about to appear on the screen. And that's, does anybody know Where's Wally? Yeah, you know, where's Wally? Most people know Where's Wally. And, well, this is essentially a book just like Where's Wally? And inside, there are loads of pictures. You know this book well, don't you? Wow, that's right. Right. Jesus is quite hard to find. He's out and about in all sorts of places. This first one that we've got up, in fact, it's the next one, next slide on the screen. He's out and about by the lakeside, where lots of people are doing lakeside activities. Now, if you've got really good eyesight, you can have a go and see if you can find Jesus on there. Now, this is where, if you're at home, you've probably got an advantage, because I suspect that slide might be filling your screen, and you might be able to spot Jesus. He's really hard to find. You found him? Wow!
I think I have, I don't know.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to have a look at the next little thing, and it's going to put a little red circle around him. He's actually, yeah, you can't see that. So we'll keep moving on through the slides, and there's a few people who look a bit like Jesus on this slide. It's designed to confuse. But the next slide, there you are, we've zoomed in a bit. Can you just see him peeking out behind that big sailboard? He's got lovely hair and beard. And if you look carefully, you'll see he's actually standing on the water, which is a bit of a bit of a giveaway. Right. Now, I've got another Finding Jesus exercise for you, because I've got another picture of Jesus coming up next on the screen. There's Jesus. Now, you're ahead of me. You're ahead of me. My goodness. I've placed Jesus, pictures like this of Jesus, around the church. There's about six of them. So I'd like you to see if you can go and find them. And if you find one, bring one to me and tell me where you found it. Oh, right. Okay. Where did you find that one?
I found it right there.
Just there. Leaning against, do you know what this is? The table with a cross on it. Yes, this is the table where we share communion, where we share bread and wine. So that's one Jesus. Oh, right, hello. Where did you find this Jesus? Here. So this is where kind of the preacher speaks, or sometimes we hear the Bible read. So we found Jesus in there. Brilliant. My goodness. Where did you find Jesus?
On a chair.
On a chair. Whereabouts on a chair?
In the congregation
with everybody who's sitting and listening. That's where Jesus was. Brilliant. Thank you. Thank you. Right, where was this Jesus? Over by the prayer area over there where you can light candles. Brilliant, thank you. Where was this Jesus?
At the back.
At the back. By the door?
Yes.
Oh, brilliant, right. So on the way in or on the way out. Thank you, that's where you found Jesus. Where did you find Jesus?
Under the table at the back.
Under the table at the back. Brilliant. That's a special little table at the back. That's called the font. It's where we baptize people, where we mark them with water, where we welcome them into the church to be a part of the church family here. So thank you. So all sorts of places where we can find Jesus. We can meet Jesus in all sorts of places, in all sorts of times, and in all sorts of ways. And when you go out, you're going to hear a story of the disciples meeting Jesus. And I think it's got something to do with the beach, which sounds nice, and got something to do with breakfast as well, and that sounds good as well. And while we're in here, we're going to be thinking of another time when people met Jesus on a dusty road, a very surprising and strange encounter with Jesus. Some places we meet Jesus are surprising, but some are less surprising. Because we've gathered here today, Sunday morning, in church. And we come to meet Jesus. That's why we're all here. To learn from Jesus and to praise Jesus. And so, that's why we're going to continue with the song. Two songs of praise. And the words will be on the screen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. So let us pray now as the children and young people go into their own spaces and we continue to worship in ours. Loving God, we pray that we may know your presence with us as we continue to worship you, to praise you, and to learn from you. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we continue our worship as the choir lead us with an anthem, a setting of My God and King. So we pray again, a prayer of confession, and that will be on the screen again. If you could join in the words in yellow. Let us pray. Lord, for the times we hear the scriptures and our hearts don't burn within us. Be with us, stay with us, forgive us. When we don't recognize Jesus in our midst because we're just not looking, be with us, stay with us, forgive us. When we are too blind to see you in the simple things, be with us, stay with us, forgive us. When we are too wrapped up in ourselves to break bread together, be with us, stay with us, forgive us. When we don't treat strangers with the respect they are due, or look the other way, be with us, stay with us, forgive us, Lord. Amen. Christ comes to us in our brokenness, enfolds us in his love, and forgives us by his grace. Thanks be to God. Amen. So we turn to our Bible readings now. We're going to have two readings, first from the book of Acts, and then, which will be read in the way in which you might usually expect, and then the gospel reading from Luke, which is going to be dramatized with a number of different voices. So thank you to all our readers. Thank you.
Our first reading today is from the book of Acts, starting at chapter 2, verse 14, the first part of that, and then going on to 36 to 41. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testifies with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed this message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added.
Today's reading is from Luke 24, verses 13 to 35. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them,
What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?
They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, Just turn the volume down, please, Janet.
Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?
What things?
The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who is a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hope that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place.
Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early that morning. When they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him.
Then Jesus said to them,
"Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?"
Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying,
"Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over."
So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other,
"Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?"
That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread.
Thank you. Let's sing again. Our hymn is number 465, and on the screen, "We have a gospel to proclaim."
Thank you.
be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord and Redeemer. Amen. When I was talking earlier in the all-age part of the service, I was talking about meeting Jesus. Or more specifically, I was talking about finding Jesus, going looking for Jesus. We went out looking for him and found him in all sorts of places, some more surprising than others. We might hope to find Jesus at the communion table, at the font. We might hope to find him when we're sat in the congregation, but perhaps at the door too, and of course at prayer. But I hear you cry. That's not what today's gospel reading was about. And you're right. If we'd read the first part of chapter 24, the verses before the passage that we heard today, we'd have heard about some people who did go looking for Jesus. First, we'd have heard about Mary and Joanna and some of the other women who went to find Jesus. They went to find Jesus in the last place they knew he had been. They went to the tomb where he'd been placed. But they didn't find Jesus there. They found a stone rolled away. They found a tomb that was empty. They found two men in dazzling clothes who asked, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" And when they reported back to the disciples what they had seen and heard, the disciples were skeptical, to say the least. But Peter decided to go and have a look for himself. He went to look for Jesus. He found an open tomb. A tomb empty, except for some discarded grave clothes. But he didn't find Jesus. Why would he find Jesus among the dead? Luke tells us that it was later, that same day, that Cleopas and the other disciple set off to walk the 7 miles towards the village of Emmaus. Presumably, Emmaus was home to at least one of them. And as they walked, they're chewing over the events of the previous few days, the previous week. A disturbing, even traumatic, roller coaster of events. Starting with the day when they entered Jerusalem, and the crowd were cheering, waving palms and singing Jesus' praises. But then there was betrayal, arrest, trial, and the crowd shouting for Jesus' blood. Then crucifixion and death and burial in a borrowed tomb. And then add to all that the fact that Jesus' body is now missing. It's almost impossible to imagine their grief and their confusion, their total disorientation. If they'd believed what the women had said about what the angels said, the message that Jesus was alive, perhaps they'd have stayed in Jerusalem to see what came next. But it seems like they'd had enough of Jerusalem. They'd had enough of what was going on there. They just wanted to get away. and it was in this raw emotional state, heading in what seemed like completely the wrong direction, to an obscure little village. It's there that Jesus draws close to them. Jesus comes alongside them. The first thing that Jesus does is to ask them about what is on their minds. What are you talking about? Astounded that this supposed stranger could have missed out on the big news of the week, the big news of the year, they pour it all out to him. And only when they've finished does Jesus respond. He opens up the scriptures for them and helps them to begin to make some sense of what has happened. Later, he accepts their invitation to join them at their table and to break bread with them. And it's only when Jesus takes the bread, blesses it, and breaks it, that they are able to recognize that this stranger is actually the risen Jesus. A remarkable encounter. So when and where and how have you encountered Jesus? I'd like to share a few little stories of people who have had particular encounters of experiencing Jesus in one way or another. First, a story that I heard from an Anglican priest. He was born and grew up in India. He was part of a relatively affluent family. The family were staunch atheists. They were very well educated, and as was he. And he was 15 years old, and he knew what he was going to do with his life. He was going to become a fighter pilot in the Indian Air Force. That's what he wanted to do. But one night, the middle of the night, he woke up and he had this intense sense of the presence of Jesus in his bedroom. He says it was a strange experience because he knew it was Jesus, despite being in India where there are many religions and many other sort of religious ideas. He was aware that the person, the presence in the room with him, was Jesus. And it was a life-changing experience. After that time, he knew he was no longer going to be a pilot in the Air Force. He knew that Jesus was calling him to something different. My own experience is not as intense or as dramatic as that. If I had to point to one experience, then I would tell you of the time that my wife Liz and I were at Holy Island. We went there for a few days away. Our children were younger. They had gone away on a camp. We had some time to ourselves, so we went to Holy Island and we spent a few nights there. And one of the days we picked up a guide yourself little pilgrimage around part of the island. And we followed it into the green parts of the island. And it took us from station to station with things to reflect on. And then at one point we climbed through the sand dunes and came to the top of the highest sand dune. And above us was the North Shore. If you've ever experienced Northumberland or Holy Island, you know that the skies are huge. When we reached the brow of that sand dune, it wasn't just the sky that was huge. The sea opened out immense before us, and the beach was as big as any beach I've ever experienced. And I had a strong sense of Jesus saying to me, the future is open. Anything is possible. And it was a time when I was reflecting on whether to follow a call to ministry or not. And I took that as Jesus' nudge to me. One more experience that I heard of recently. This came from a prison chaplain who'd got into the habit of using guided reflections, using Bible passages in a kind of Ignatian, if you're familiar with Ignatian spirituality, of encouraging people to imaginatively place themselves in a Bible passage. And he did this meditation with a group of prisoners. And then afterwards, he just asked them to reflect on their experience. And one prisoner said, I met Jesus. He told me I was forgiven, but I've got a lot of work to do. Another life-changing encounter. Of course, living in Oxford, being Methodists, we're all probably familiar with C.S. Lewis's trip up Headington Hill and that moment when he was surprised by joy. Perhaps he may not have named it as an encounter with Jesus as such, but it was a divine encounter and one that changed him. And of course, John Wesley, his experience of a strangely warmed heart. So what might be your experience? It's quite possible, quite probable that your experience has never been quite so intense or as specific. Perhaps it's not one that you could name. But maybe you've had moments, just moments where you felt God's peace, where you've somehow felt a connection with God in a way that you don't on a day-to-day way. Maybe it's in prayer. Maybe it's in meeting in church, sharing in bread and wine. The intensity of the experience may vary widely. But God is risen, Jesus is risen, and meets us in our lives, in expected places like the church, in unexpected places, like in grief and confusion, like those on the road to Emmaus. Perhaps we've had our strongest sense of God with us in times of trouble and difficulty, when we too have been grieving or somewhat confused or lost. Or perhaps it's been in those times of praise and delight that God has felt closest in the person of Jesus. Were you touched? Were you in any sense transformed? Our encounters with Jesus do shape us, I believe. Sometimes in minute ways that we might not be able to detect. Sometimes in ways that we only spot as we look back, as those disciples at Emmaus looked back on their time with a stranger on the road, unpacking the scriptures, and realized how their hearts were burning within them. Sometimes the transformation can be remarkable. Those people who met with Jesus on the road to Emmaus were transformed by their encounter. Cleopas and his friends, once they'd taken a moment to absorb what had happened, jumped up and hurried straight back to Jerusalem. 7 miles they'd just come. They hurried back in the darkness overnight, back to the disciples to share the news of what had happened to them. They burst into the room, ready, full of a story, an amazing story to tell them, and they couldn't even get the words out of their mouths because the disciples had had their own encounter. Peter had met with Jesus, and they wanted to share that with them first. I must admit, reading that Bible story, I half expected an argument to break out over who met Jesus first. But no, this news was too great, too amazing, too joyful. The Lord has risen indeed. Those people would never be the same again. The world would never be the same again. Amen. So let's sing again. Words are on the screen. All I once held dear. Be seated. Now we come to God with our prayers of intercession.
Of course, one of the wonderful things about having a relationship with God, about knowing God, is that we can bring to the Lord people, places, and things that are on our hearts and minds that we care about, may have a concern for or about. And we remember that God, who we sometimes can or can't see, do or don't recognize, has an enthusiasm to hear all our prayers. With this in mind, what I've thought today was that we could have an opportunity to mention ourselves as we go along, as individuals, people, places, things that are on our hearts and minds, things that we'd like to lift before the Lord. So I will offer, if you like, a group of prayer, a category of prayer, and then leave a moment of pause for everybody, as you will, to bring quietly before the Lord anyone or anything that you would like to do. I'll leave a moment for that and then move on to the next thing. I hope that's okay. So, gracious Lord, we pray for all those who look to serve in public offices, governments, and councils. We pray for all those countries and communities that are most strongly feeling the impacts of climate change. We also pray for those working or wanting to help make the climate we share better. Lord God, we bring to you the communities, our communities, the places where we live and where we work. We pray for church locally, the places where we gather and the people who we share fellowship with. And we remember those in churches who give their time in the service of others. Finally, for our siblings around the world. Amen.
Let's gather all our prayers together as we share in the Lord's Prayer. The words are on the screen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And a prayer for the offering. Loving God, all that you give us, the breath within us, all that we have and are, is gift from you. We thank you that these are gifts that we can give to others and to the world. We pray that you will bless all that we have given to the church, that it might be used to grow your kingdom in this place. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 190, and again is on the screen. Christ is alive. Let Christians sing.
Thank you.
with us, remind us of the profound reality of a life infused with your love. Let us be witnesses to you whatever roads we travel, sharing the good news and celebrating the enduring hope we have. In Jesus' name, amen. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us all, now and always. Amen. Thank you.